And you think about that for a little bit. Just look, consider his creation. What if even our human bodies, what if we just had one ear on one side and one eye on this side and only one arm? Just those three things alone, how well do you think we could function? It'd be pretty challenging. But he made us complete, whole. And we work amazingly well, our human bodies. It's just amazing what the human body can do when it's complete. But you take away a limb or you hinder one of our senses, whether it's a hearing or eyesight or whatever it is, it really hinders us. We're not complete. We're not whole. But God made our human bodies like that. And you look out through nature, so many of the things that God has done such a beautiful, complete work in. And that's just in the natural sense. When you consider in the spiritual realm, God has done the same thing. I mentioned this morning about Jesus being the author and finisher of our faith, and that he can take care of everything from the very beginning to the very end. And I want to read a scripture in Deuteronomy 32 and 4. And I want to read one scripture. This is, it says, Moses' song. This is right before God takes him towards the end of his life here. But this is one of his songs that he has in Deuteronomy 32 and 4. It says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. So I want to repeat a phrase. It says, his work is perfect. So, does that give you any hints? That answers the rest of, or fills in the blanks here. So let me do that. And it's amazing when something is complete. Now, I wrote it in red just to emphasize the contrast, but when something is complete, how much more like, oh, well, yeah, duh, you know, that's, yeah, his work is perfect. But when something is left unfinished and there's holes in it, or if you understand the concept here, take, for instance, have you ever tasted somebody's dish of food that they simply forgot a couple of ingredients? It looks great. And it even smells good, but you start eating it and you're like, where's the salt? Or where's the sugar? Or whatever. It's not complete. And it's distasteful, literally. And you know, the same thing can go with you and I. When we are not complete in God's plan of salvation, we can be distasteful to someone else. Can we not? In other words, they can take a taste of our life, so to speak, and they're going, oh, you put salt in it instead of sugar. You put sugar instead of salt, and something just isn't tasting right. Or it was all left out altogether. You made something without baking soda or baking powder, whichever one you're supposed to use. Or you left out the eggs or whatever, and it just all, your cake just falls apart, you know. But you know, God, when he does something, says his work is perfect. And you look up the word perfect in the Hebrew here, and it means not only entire and complete, but without blemish. And truly, God's work is just that. He doesn't have any haphazard little letters and partial words thrown up for us to try to decipher. But we have, to begin with, his word, his holy word. And then we have the Holy Spirit to help us interpret that and to apply it to our individual lives. And beyond that, What also, this is so amazing, God established not only the plan of salvation for us individually, but it's a collective effort. And that's why the scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Because he knew that this is what would continue to perfect his saints, is that we are able to mix in one with another, and we learn one from another. And one another scripture says is iron sharpeneth iron, because sometimes we need that. What someone else has learned something over here and they've got a hold of something, and someone else over here, they just don't get it or whatever. But they're like, no, let me instruct you. Let me teach you. Let me show you something. Let me show you a better way. All in love, you know, but it helps us out. It sharpens us up. But God, when you consider, and this is Moses' song. You consider what he experienced. What if God's leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, oops, his power kind of slips up, and here comes the water. And they're right in the middle of the sea, the children of Israel. That wouldn't work. That would foil his plan, okay? Or what if the children of Israel make it all the way across the Red Sea? Aha, woohoo, and here comes the enemy. Well, God, you're going to take care of them. And here comes the enemy right through the Red Sea. And what if, again, God's power is like, oops, not able to command the water to come back in time, and their chariots make it all the way across, and they start destroying the children of Israel. What if? But no, God doesn't work that way. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He said, I'm going to deliver you out of the hand of Pharaoh. And that's exactly what he did. And time again throughout the scriptures, God said he's going to do something, and he finishes it. And you know, the same thing, as I mentioned this morning, applies to his promises. He doesn't just cast out these promises just for the fun of it and just to say something just because it sounds good and that'll impress somebody and that'll make them feel good. No, he does it with intention. He does it with desire, with his holy will, that he might make something of us. But again, the scripture says he is the rock. That means he's not going to change. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. I'm so thankful for that tonight, because I can bank on these promises right here. I can bank on this fact, on this truth, that what he does, his work is perfect. It's mankind. When they get involved, that's when it messes everything up. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. The garden was perfect. In every sense of the word, the Garden of Eden was perfect. And there was one tree, he said, I forbid you to take of that. But that was the blemish. They listened to what Satan had to say. And that's what tarnished God's perfect work. And you know, the same goes down throughout the ages. It's we are the ones, we tarnish ourselves through listening to the flesh. Our self gets in the way. And it puts a blemish there. It puts a mark. But God's work is perfect. And so his plan is not to allow sin. When we partake of sin, we're born into sin. And then we consciously decide to partake of sin when we come to the age of accountability. His desire is not for us to stay there and for us to continue to have holes poked in our soul and our spirit and our lives and to be destroyed by Satan and to keep plucking these little letters, so to speak, out of our lives to where all we have is maybe one or two letters left and people are looking at us and like, I have no idea who you are or what you are or what you're doing. I have no idea what you mean. You know, you say this and this, but what about everything in between? You see, God's desire is to raise us back up and to perfect us, to make us complete and whole once again. And I want to read a scripture that deals with that in Philippians 1 and 6. And here we have a scripture that puts this in even clearer light. Philippians 1 and 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Notice what that says. Confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, in other words, he's not going to start on it and all of a sudden go, I'm kind of tired, or this is really boring. They're just not getting it, so I'm going to go to something else. You know, God doesn't do that. He's begun a good work. He sees the progress. And you know, it's just like when we get saved, we get excited and we're on fire for the Lord. And as it is, sometimes we kind of lose some of that fervor, some of that zeal. But God desires, no, come on, I got something more for you. I want you to grow. I want you to mature here. And God will, in his faithfulness. See, this is where we get into trouble, because it's so easy for the devil to make us think that the trials and the temptations and the troubles of life are there to destroy us. But that's not the intention. He's desiring that those things will perfect us, that it will purge out the things, the dross, the ugly things, and pluck out those things and put the good things back in place, you see. And the scripture says, in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good, you see. Where sometimes the devil will say, well, that's not for your good. That's quite a trial you've been going through, and it looks like your God has forsaken you. That's what the devil will tell us. But he hasn't. He's working something in us. And he's doing this. He's begun a good work. He's confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And it says, until the day of Jesus. In other words, your whole lifetime, God has a plan. And he's going to work to perfect us and make us complete and whole and mature our whole life through until Jesus comes back and it's not necessary. We've made it home, you see. So this is, he says, being confident. He's like, this is something that will take place if we allow it. That's the condition. So not only does God want to start a work in us, he wants to complete it. And he used his son, Jesus Christ, as the main tool to accomplish that. I mentioned earlier about those in the Old Testament. God did some amazing things with them. But there was a lot of things that in the end, it just, they weren't as complete and whole as God had desired them to be. But you think about the advantages we have today. We have his complete holy word. We have his Holy Spirit. And we have the host, the cloud of witnesses, and those that are with us now today, his church, to encourage us, one another, to inspire us that, yes, God does have a perfect plan, a perfect work to do in us. I want to read another scripture in Hebrews 13 and 21. Excuse me. He says, to make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Notice that part, through who? Is it through yourself? Is it through someone else? Is it through you just, I know I can do this. I'm determined I'm going to do this. You know, the self-will, self-determination. That won't cut it. But God's grace through Jesus Christ, it says, will accomplish that. But it says, make you perfect in every good work. Now here, the word perfect in the Greek means complete, thoroughly, to adjust, to mend, and to restore. Notice that. It's different than the word perfect earlier we used when talking about God, about his work is perfect. Because not only is it complete, but it is without blemish. There's no errors in it at all. He's never wrong. He's never mistaken. He never goes, something never slips up on him and goes, uh-oh, I didn't think of that. No, his work is perfect. But here it is, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. In other words, He wants to tweak us, to adjust us, to fine-tune us, to restore us, that we might accomplish His good will in our lifetime here on this earth. And you know, considering all of this, sometimes we have a tendency to give up on ourselves. Let's just be honest. It's easy to be that way because we know what our tendencies are. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge it. But yet, sometimes we'll give up. I was like, Lord, I've tried this and I've tried that. And I'm like, I don't know what else to do. You know, God's, the way He sees it is, well, you're still a work in progress. And you know, you consider what sanctification is. Sanctification is where we truly yield ourselves over to the Lord. We put our life in His hands. We consecrate our desires, our will, our everything about us. We give it to Him. We allow Him to choose, work His will in our life. And if you think of this scripture, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. How else are you going to allow Him to perfect those things, to adjust, to mend, to restore those things in our individual lives if we don't put our hearts and our lives into His hand? How else can He do it, you see? So that is the key to accomplishing this. But again, in ourselves, we kind of give up on it. But if we give our hearts and our lives to the Lord, say, Lord, I've made a mess of this, so can You do something with it? And we release it to the Lord, you see, because His work is always perfect, all right? He's not going to make a mistake. He's not going to make something and it ends up with a flaw or missing some sugar or some salt, and it goes, no, God doesn't do that, okay? But it also brings a new meaning when you consider His work and that it's perfect and what He wants to do in our hearts and lives. It brings a new meaning to the scripture. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Just think about that. When God starts a work in us, He's not just, when the first difficulties come, and it's on our part, not God's part, but when the first difficulties come and we kind of give up on ourselves or we kind of give up on God, God is not forsaking us in that condition. He's standing right there beside us saying, when you're ready, we'll complete the work that I've started. He's not going to leave us. It's when we reject the Lord and we turn from the Lord and we walk away, we backslide or we blaspheme against the Holy Ghost or whatever. It's when we reject the Lord, that's when He can't work. Okay. But in this application, He's standing there right beside us, walking alongside us, and we give up on ourselves or we give up on the Lord or we give up or whatever. And Lord's saying, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. And you think about the disciples. When Jesus was walking with them in the flesh, you know, that's what they basically did. When He was crucified, they gave up on Jesus, their master. They gave up on themselves. That's why Peter said, I'm just going to go fishing. And all the others are like, and even Judas, he went out, hung himself. He gave up on himself. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't the perfect work God had planned for Judas. But you think of this, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means God has something special that He wants to work in every single one of us. He doesn't want to do just a half job. The letters written in black up here. He wants to fill in the gaps. He wants to adjust. Maybe He has to erase something else and rework it. Whatever it is. But He wants to make it where it looks complete. It works. It's intelligible. It can be read. It can be understood. It can be used, you see. That's what God wants to do with all of us. He wants to complete His work in us. And I want to read that scripture again. In the Yes, here in Hebrews again, it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his good will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Now, we all have created, made things or whatever. and have you ever done something, whether it's a... I'll just speak from personal experience. On my job, in the CAD world, I've kind of developed... I mean, I use the guidelines that we were taught in school and what my bosses kind of, you know, influenced me as well about how to draw certain things. But I've noticed throughout the years that I could recognize my drawings just like that in the midst of a bunch of other people's drawings. But they will look at their own drawings and they'll think, oh, they like their drawings and I like my drawings because the way I do them, it's pleasing to me. I have a certain way I lay things out and I try to make them look neat and tidy and it's pleasing to me. And then, you know, I'll look at theirs and I'm like, okay. But it's pleasing to them. They're fine with it, you know. But I'm the creator, you see. I'm the one that drew this up. And I knew exactly how I wanted everything placed. And I thought it out and how many different pages and different assemblies and how I was going to do this and this and detail this part and then make notes over here. And everything just followed, you know. It was right. It was according to my plan, you see. And I've also had people where they will pull up my drawings and they make changes on their own. And I pull it up later. I'm like, no, that's not right. Their font is like really big or some weird stuff. And their dimensions are all skewed this way. And I'm like, I didn't do that. That's not according to my will, according to my plan. That's not well pleasing to me. Somebody messed that up. And then they present it to whoever like, here's so-and-so's drawing, and I'm the one that drew it. You know, my initials are down there. I'm like, no. And then maybe theirs is in the revision title block. I'm like, yeah, look at that, not mine. But still, it's like, it's not right. But you know, the same thing can apply to us spiritually. That God created us something beautiful, just how he wanted it. But Satan can come in and start making his own adjustments. And God looks at that and saying, uh-uh, no, that's not well-pleasing to me. I want it back to the original plus something more. I want my spirit within them. I want them to go the extra mile like Jesus did. Not just to follow the letter of the law like the Old Testament. You remember the rich young ruler? He's like, I've measured up to all these things. Yeah, that's good. But Jesus wanted to take us to the next level, you see. And that's where, not just if you can say the salvation level, but it's up to the sanctification. No, I want to do more than just follow the bare minimum to get by. I want to do something more in you. I want you to go above and beyond and to desire to have me perfect things in your life. And to ask, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Lord, I see there's some problems going on. Lord, start doing your own inventory of yourself and of your heart. Saying, Lord, what's going on here? Is there something with me? Okay, Lord, I need, you know, show me. I need your spotlight. And the Lord's faithful to do his part because he wants to bring us back to that perfection state that he so desires that it, with him it would be well-pleasing in his sight. And it's how? It's through Jesus Christ. The grace that is extended to us at the throne of grace, at the throne of mercy. But our part is, again, we're not going to get it. We're not going to have access to it if we don't ask. If we don't come boldly to that throne of grace. And if we don't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've made a mess here. And I don't want to stay in this situation. I don't want to look like I'm just half done. I don't want to look like, well, that's confusing, you know. In other words, maybe our words don't line up with our actions. Or our appearance don't line up with our words, or whatever the case is, that everything lines up according to his word. And it's a sweet smelling savor to the Lord that he's well pleased with that. And that's when in the Old Testament, when they did everything according to God's word in the tabernacle and the temple, guess what happened? That's when God's presence came, and it was obvious, not just to the priest, not just to the Levites, but it was obvious to the whole congregation. And you know what? It didn't even stop there. Because when God's presence came down and blessed them and blessed all of God's people, then that's when they're able to go out and guess what? Defeat the enemy. And then they got the message that, wow, that truly is the God of all gods. That's the Israelites' God. He is the one that has true power and authority, even over all the enemies. So that's what God wants to do in us, that we can be a testimony to God's grace and God's power and the perfection that He wants to work and to complete in you and I. You pray for me, I'll be faithful to the Lord.